Hello, everybody. Welcome to 3-Point Perspective, the podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. And all three of us are professional illustrators. We've all worked for all the major publishers in the business. Together, we've got about 75 children's books that we've illustrated. And we've all taught illustration at university art programs.
Each week, we take your awesome questions and we interview a fantastic illustrator like we're doing today and talk about illustration and all the things around it. Sometimes we argue, sometimes we agree, but each time you learn something brand spanking new.
We have a treat for you today. Anthony Wheeler. There's this scene in the movie Avatar by James Cameron. And there's this old, like, gnarly Marine, and he gets super excited when he finds out that they have an Avatar body that's connected to Jake Sully, who's a Marine. And he goes, a Marine in an Avatar body, that is a potent mix. And I think what we have here with Anthony is we have this potent mix of an artist in, like, a businessman's body, or it's a businessman and an artist body. I don't know. He went to business school, but he also, like, eats, drinks, lives, like, art and illustration. And when you combine those two things, you get, like, this really magnificent, like, working artist who's just carved out this life for himself where he gets to draw all day, do the business stuff too, and support his you know, a lifestyle and a family. But this was a really cool interview. What'd you guys take away from it?
Well, I did have some points, but now I'm nervous to make them because of your out of left field Avatar reference.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where that came from.
Now I got to dig deep. No, it was good. That was a good reference. It looked well rehearsed and practiced.
He's kind of like Jurassic Park in a way. You know?
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he's just there, like, now eating everything in front of him, just like, just going for it. You know,
it's like a theme dinosaur park, but with dinosaurs. What could go wrong?
What do you think it was
Anthony
like,
Wheeler?
Jake, Lee? What do you?
I feel like it was like Jaws mixed with Star Wars. No, he's amazing. He's got it figured out. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I mean, that's sort of been a common thread with the people that we have interviewed. That's the one thing that I've noticed is that they've been able to just tweak everything so specifically to work for them. And it seems like he's just got it really figured out in terms of doing live streams and which not only solves his income problems a little bit, but it also lets him interact with society. He's a very much an extrovert a lot of artists are kind of fall on that different parts of that spectrum. He's definitely at the extrovert stage, kind of like, or extrovert
personality. He's so comfortable
like us
in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So
and so it's perfect for him. Yeah. He just got it nailed. I mean, exactly what he should be doing and how long he should do it and how does he accomplish it. And then he's got peripheral things that he realized there's a market for, like sketchbooks and things like that. It's a fascinating study of somebody who's doing the thing. I mean, he's doing all of it. He's making the art he wants to make, and he's making a living at it, and he's doing it all on his own. Fascinating story, actually, coming from corporate America and then coming into art and then actually making as much as he was making in corporate America from art. I mean, it's a business lesson for sure, but the guy's really creative too. The stuff that he showed is amazing.
Yeah. Before getting into the interview, you're going to want to queue up on your phone or on your website. His website, anthonywheelerart.com. His Instagram account, it's at Anthony Wheeler Art. And his Twitch account is Anthony Wheeler Art on Twitch as well. So load those up and let's dive into this interview. All right. So we have Anthony Wheeler here. Thanks for joining us this morning to talk a little bit about your career as an artist, and I want you just tell us what is. We'll start like very, very narrow. What is on your plate today as a freelance working independent illustrator?
That's a really great question. First of all, I didn't really have a choice in doing this podcast. Jake said I had to be here at 10 o'clock this morning, so I wasn't really given the option. So it's kind of thrown off my morning.
I wrecked your day,
and you're on.
I really did. I normally try to do like the 3-4 hours of flow time in the morning, and then go exercise, and then come back to it in the afternoon. But ruined that.
We invited you on 4-point perspective.
Yeah, I'm the fourth point.
That's right.
Quadrilogical point perspective.
Multiple dimensions.
Yeah. Today, I'm really excited about today. So today's a really busy day. So I started with about 2 hours of sketching and doodling and drawing for things that I've got coming up later today. When I'm done with this, I've got to go down and ship about 20 some orders from my online store. Then I'm going to go work out. It's a shoulders day. Just trying to get around. Then I come back and I work on freelance stuff until about 3 o'clock my time. I'm currently working on a webcomic for a big video game company, which we can talk about later. And then I jump on my Twitch live stream from 3 to 6 o'clock my time. And today, every other week on my Twitch live stream, we do a character design challenge where I talk a lot about character design. I teach a little bit about character design. And then we have a unified theme. We all draw that theme. And I give everybody a couple of days to do their artwork and things like that. And then next Monday, I show all of that off on my Discord on live on stream. And then we start to share some of those back to my social media. So today will be one of these days where I'm busy at work at 7, won't end until about 6:30 or 7. And then I'm a father to three beautiful children.
And that's when the real work starts.
that's when the pain begins.
Is this a every day of the week thing, or is this a, okay.
Yeah, my schedule, you know, and I've told Jake before, I try to listen to what he tells me and I try to take his advice as much as possible. I've really started to break up my days, and it's been this last handful of months where my morning is really dedicated to, there's no social media, there's no email response, there's none of that. And it's just deep, deep, deep work. I put on the headphones, either listen to a podcast or listen to music, and then just groove. If I have a really good morning, then that unlocks a workout. And a workout, my physical sense, my physical body is really important to me. And so if I have a great morning, then that unlocks the workout. And then if I work out, then I have an awesome afternoon. And then I can get right back into the flow from sort of like noon to three. I started streaming in the afternoons, live streaming, because it was kind of my garbage time of the day. And by putting it sort of in that afternoon slot, when I was sort of coming down off the high of everything else, the live streaming keeps me really dialed in and just performing just really, really tight. And then I can get an extra few hours of productivity out of it. And I love it. It feels really good. So
what do you live stream? Is it for projects, or is that more personal?
It's salsa
stuff?
Dancing. Yeah. I'm a competitive.
That's amazing.
No, I live stream sort of a mixture of anything art wise that I need to get done. So it's either my freelance work, private work, sketches that I just want to doodle, these character design challenges that we do every 2 weeks. There's a pretty wide variety. Yeah. Commissions from time to time. I don't tend to take a lot of commission work anymore. Unless it's just egregiously high paying and super flexible that I can just draw whatever I want to draw.
Can you, I want to get back to live streaming, but on the subject commissions, can you tell them about, this Harry Potter sketchbook?
Yeah.
What's Harry Potter?
So I'm a big nerd. Visual, if you're watching the, wasn't very popular in middle school. I love just, it's my favorite thing. Like, everyone's just got a thing. And that's my favorite thing. This last year I released a sketchbook that I sell in my online store, and it's been a really amazing project for me. Well, I have one customer who bought, who's been around for a long time. They bought two of the sketchbooks and asked if I could fill every page with Harry Potter characters, and they would pay me on a per page basis. And so I think we're 30, 40 pages in now. And
so
it's great.
Just to be clear, he this is what was cool. Anthony put out a blank sketchbook.
Yep.
It's branded with his character in the corner on the cover. So you could buy this blank sketchbook, and it's the paper handpick that he draws on, that he uses. This is what you're seeing him drawn in live stream. This is kind of really brilliant thing, is is anytime you're drawing and people say, what's that sketchbook? You say, oh, this is my own proprietary sketchbook. And I have copies for sale in my shop. And people go buy those. But then I can't believe like this one guy just was like, here's this blank sketchbook. I want it filled with Harry Potter characters, however long it takes you, and I'll pay you per page.
Yep. It's awesome. It's you know, going back to some of the streaming stuff, it's just allowed me, A, to have a ton of creativity with it. I love the characters in the world. But B, it also fills time when I'm live streaming or if I'm kind of in the nooks and crannies between other things. Mm-hmm. And then there's a monetary value to it as well. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, and this is kind of, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's how do you do one thing, but you get compensated on it or be able to show it or share it multiple different ways and multiple different times. You know, those pieces, those sketches that are not only commissions that I get paid on, that I share online, that then sells me more sketchbooks. Those are the rough drafts for different prints and different mm-hmm. pieces that I make full blown paintings out of. And mm-hmm. so it's repurposing one thing to three or four or five different things.
That's super cool. So
can you share that Harry Potter sketchbook real quick? I mean, this is, if you guys want to see what we're doing here, we're on the YouTube, right?
Yep.
Let me,
you can see all of our pretty faces and, the sketchbook, which I'm very curious about.
You're going to switch your camera there. You have to say something so it can go big, Anthony.
Say something to go big.
Yeah, there you go.
Anthony.
There you go. It switched the view to you.
Yeah. So here's the sketchbook. So it's 8 inches this way. It's 10 inches this way. It's 64 pages of blank paper, blank smooth paper. Ink doesn't show through from one side to the other. It's designed for pencils, for colored pencils, for markers, for ink, all that sort of thing. And then it's got my little character Wally in the corner that
with a foil stamp.
I know.
Boom.
I know. here's
before we get into this, one second. I just noticed that when your image got really big. How in the world are you in the middle of that cartoon?
Yeah, it's just.
Why do we not have these professional graphics? He's just over there on the side. We're a whole company. He's over on their side kicking our butt with all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's Twitch magic.
He's in this little cartoon for those of you guys who are just listening. There's like a Grim Reaper.
Don't give it away. This is proprietary.
This little character is in the middle of a cartoon while you're watching his head talk. He's in the middle of this little cartoon. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. All right. Sorry for the distraction.
I'll take that compliment. Absolutely. All right. So here's the sketchbook if you're watching the live. If you're just listening to this on your podcast machine, the illustrations are great. Just trust me. So this is Professor Trelawney. This is Luna Lovegood. This is Professor Umbridge, and I'm super inspired by Mad Magazine and Cracked Magazine. And so I'd love to sneak in extra little side characters in all of my cartoon work. This is Professor Sprout with her mandrake, and she's got these big old earmuffs on. This is Professor Dumbledore, and there's another little Cornish pixie, doing the same thing that Dumbledore is doing.
Nice. What are you doing to add color here?
So this is ink and Copic markers.
Okay.
Yep.
Fresh.
Yeah. And this
is... What do you ink with? What pen do you use?
So I've got two different pens. So the pen that I like for a smooth paper is the Pentel Pocket Brush. It's just a really easy daily driver, $6 to $16 here in the United States. The ink on that can be a little bit slow sometimes, depending on the pen. The quality is, you know, quality ranges a little bit when you pick up those pens. If I'm using something that's got more rough texture to it, then I'm using a more of a high-end Kiritaki brush pen, like a Kiritaki 13 or Kiritaki 40 or something like that. And that's more of an animal hair bristle versus a synthetic bristle. But on smooth paper, I like to slow down the ink work just a little bit.
These are beautiful, beautiful. For those of you guys who are listening, and you want to know what this work looks like, it's like a good version of Jake.
It really is. Sorry,
Jake. I will take that compliment all day.
It's a version of my art that has care and thought put into it.
Those are
this
gorgeous.
Podcast is never coming out, is it?
Jake's gonna bury it.
So going back to Twitch or streaming, you mentioned you're streaming on Twitch. I just want to know about what that, just ground up, explain what the heck is going on there for people who aren't on Twitch and don't know what those words even mean.
Can I ask, throw in a question about the sketchbook before you go there?
Sure.
Is that all right, Jake?
Sure, whatever. Fine. That's what I guess three people are interviewing. You got to like take one
I'll
of
them. I'll be the fourth point of perspective today. No, like, so you're drawing these characters, these Harry Potter characters in the sketchbook for a client. It's really client work, right?
Yep.
Did you work out a deal with the guy that you can use them to sell them as prints and stuff too?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not interested in taking private commission work unless I can resell it in some shape, way, or form.
I think that's really important for listeners that, you know, you're maximizing your time there.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. There's no point to do what we do, which is so complicated and takes so much of our energy, if you're only going to be able to use it one time. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't.
You better get a nice paycheck for that one time.
And we've had that from time to time, right? Like, and that pay is transformational, or the experience is transformational. But for things like that, no way. No, you gotta maximize. I think, let's talk about the Twitch thing, but I think the other thing, you know, Jake and I, what's really fun here, and I love to shower praise upon Jake, because Jake's one of my favorite people. You know, but Jake has had a really huge hand in me just doing what I do, and watching him over the years sort of giving me the blueprint, and then almost in a sense giving me permission to sort of do what I do, which is very, very different and unique than I think what a lot of other independent illustrators do. So despite picking on him and making fun of him behind his back a lot, I owe an awful lot of this to Jake.
And you know, just to be clear, that was like inspirational permission. We didn't do a signed agreement where I permit Anthony to follow my business model.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No, what about Lee? Didn't Lee encourage you along the way? Wasn't he inspirational? And
I have no inspiration.
Depends how much money's in his PayPal and if he can send it quickly. Daniel can edit that part out. You know, for me though, when I was a, I'm taking over the podcast real quick. So when I was a kid, I drew voraciously. Like all I wanted to do was draw. And then when I got into my teen years, I sort of, you know, and this is the 90s comic boom, and I was really into to all the Image comics, the Wildcats and the Spawns and all of that sort of stuff. But when I got into my teen years, I really fell off of illustration and comics altogether, went to business school, got into sales and marketing and in executive recruiting. And then I came back to comics, I think at 24, 25, I just sort of like wandered into a comic shop. And I remember at that point, Jim Lee just started doing Hush, Batman Hush. And then Corey Walker was doing Invincible with Robert Kirkman. And when I reopened those comics, I instantly knew that I just wanted to draw. I just wanted to create. But I had this massive gulf between the age of 25 and the age of like 12 or 13 that I had not drawn or thought about art or anything. Like it just was so far back. So I dedicated the next, I don't know, 10 years of my life just to try to figure out how to draw. I went to business school, so I didn't go to art school. I didn't have anybody in my sphere of influence who was really an illustrator who really understood sort of what I was trying to accomplish. My goal was to draw professional comics, and it was, and I was so far away from all of that. And I was buying every possible, you know, anatomy book and perspective book. And I was listening to podcasts, and I was listening to Jake, you know, making YouTube videos and be on podcasts and posting on blogs. I don't know if you guys remember blogs. And listening to Scott Kurtz and the Webcomic Weekly guys, you know, talk about just comics and independent illustrating. And for that 10 years, you know, I just didn't really, I just like my work was very bad. It was very unformed. I didn't have a project. I didn't really have a dedicated path. I didn't really know what I was doing. But I just knew that this was the space that I wanted to be in. And I just listened to all of these podcasts and these interviews and these conversations. And I just started sponging all of it up so that at some point I could be on this podcast. This is the moment right now.
The cumulative.
This is it. I'm retiring after today. But when as I started to get into my mid-30s, I was an executive recruiter, for the majority of my career. We saved up money. I put ourselves in a position that I could leave corporate executive recruiting to try to figure out how to draw. And then around that point is when my mother passed away. And she passed away sort of at an age where she should have had way more time. And she was just unhappy. Her life wasn't exactly the way it she wanted to turn out. And I sort of knew, like, in that moment, that was 36, 37 maybe, that I had to go for it. I just had to take a leap. And so the day before I put in my notice, to my executive recruiting or to the company I worked with, and I had been kind of off ramping. I was quietly quitting, I guess is what the younger folks on TikTok say. Right. We found out we were having our third baby the day before I was going to leave a six-figure salary and try to draw full time. And again, if you look back at my artwork from 2016, 2017, A, it's almost non-existent, but B, what's there is garbage. And and it's just was uninspired and uninteresting and things like that. And so we had kind of an oh heck moment, like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And luckily my wife had an awful lot of faith in me. And that's kind of, we'll go back into the Twitch thing here in a minute, but she had enough faith in me to know it wasn't where it needed to be, but we could get there. And mm-hmm. around that same time frame is when I started to be better friends with Jake. And I showed Jake some of my work. And to his credit, he could have said, Anthony, not a good idea. Go get that job back right now. But to his credit, he gave me an amazing critique. I showed that critique off on my Twitch stream the other day. And it was a transformative conversation about how to think through shape, which is something that I had not been doing previously, despite trying to sponge all of this information up. And, you know, based on that conversation is when I was 2017, somewhere around in there, I decided to do the Inktober drawing challenge. And I knew based on the conversation that Jake and I had about my artwork and where I wanted to go, that I should do that challenge. And I should see if I could figure anything out. And I had previously tried to do a very bad version of Jim Lee or, you know, pick any awesome comics dude or dudette.
Yeah,
and it stunk. It stunk. It was just horrible. And I decided in that Inktober in 2017 to go back to the thing that I loved the most as a kid, which was comic strips and cartooning and Calvin and Hobbes and Garfield and The Far Side and humor and comedy and things like that. And I just started cartooning. And that's sort of the inflection point of like when everything changed. And when I started to get a lot of joy out of my work, when my Instagram and my online social following just ballooned out of absolutely nowhere. And when I got confidence that I could actually be an illustrator someday. And I told Jake at the time, it's like, I'm just going to give myself 2 years. I'm going to give myself 2 years to see if I can figure anything out. We have enough money saved up. I'm just going to try it. And now mm-hmm. it's what, 6 years later mm-hmm. and I'm on this podcast and my moment has arrived.
That's incredible. So like today, your day is chock full of art related tasks. 10 yep. years ago, what was your schedule like?
I was a full blown executive recruiter for a Fortune 300, working with the CEO, COO, recruiting top level strategic talent into the business. So my day was dominated with telephone calls, with strategy meetings, with sourcing candidates, cold calling mm-hmm. Candidates to see if I could bring them into the business. Mm-hmm. It was great. In the business world, it's the most servant-minded role that you can have in a big organization, helping somebody find a job, improve mm-hmm. their career, improve their money, improve their stature, improve their time that they get to spend with their family or whatever it is. You can improve people's lives. But yeah, 10 years ago, I would have had pants on. I have pants on now, just FYI. I would have had a collared shirt. I would have had a tie. I would have easily been 40 pounds heavier because the cafeteria had tater tots. It wasn't good. And it's funny, you know, Jake knows some of this too. So when I quit my day job, we found out we had our third child on the way. I was plummeting my family into poverty because we were going from a nice salary to no salary. Mm-hmm. Around that point is when my oldest son, who was 8 at the time, started to display some really kind of scary neurological things. He had a seizure the day after we got our son home from the hospital, from the NICU, and he was in the NICU for 3 weeks. So like the whole, it's such a weird ramping period. It's like, found out that we were having our third child. That child came 7 weeks early, was in the hospital for 3 weeks and then oxygen for a few months because we live at such a high elevation. That child comes home and then my oldest has an epileptic fit, puts us down a path of 8 to 10 months of mm-hmm. neurological testing, genetic testing, the scariest wow. stuff of my entire life. And so my freelance career didn't start for almost a full year. Wow. I was full of anxiety, depression, fear. I was terrified. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the things that they were really worried about are not as impactful as what they were concerned. So we're doing really pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it pushed back me starting this whole process of learning how to draw
right.
by a long time.
Do you wish you had waited another year to quit or was that probably best that you did it then?
You know, it's like the universe, you know, what, no matter what you believe in, the universe told me it was the right time. You know, yeah. I would not have been able to handle a high pressure career in sort of the executive field and have a newborn come early who weighs 5 pounds, who's on oxygen. And then I have a son that they told us that, and he doesn't have this condition, but he told us that he was probably not going to live past his
20s.
Wow.
And had I had a real job and had to put mm-hmm. pants on, like they would have let me go. Like it was just, right. it was messy. It was really messy.
You'd be there physically, but not mentally.
Yeah. If even that, you know, there were so many doctor's appointments and genetic appointments and all of these things. And, you know, luckily what, you know, we found out over the course of the years, he has this really weird, sleep epilepsy where his mind is really just vibrating rapidly mm-hmm. when he sleeps. And we have very little epileptic seizures during the day. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very little. We're super lucky. But now we're going through puberty and now some of that stuff is manifested again. And so things have been stressful this last 6 months, but it sort of is what it is.
I like how you said we're going through puberty. It is. It's like if one kid in the house is going through puberty, everybody's going through puberty.
Have you not heard my voice squeak? It's very squeaky right now. It's very squeaky. But yeah, when I quit that and all of that stuff started to happen, you know, mm-hmm. we put cartooning and illustration really on hold, and I was just doing little doodles for Instagram and things like that. And I got really lucky that my Instagram started to grow and people started to be along for the journey, whether it was the stuff with my family, whether it was the stuff that kind of 40-year-old mm-hmm. quit corporate America and try to figure out how to draw. And I got
How
really
much
lucky.
Growth did you have on Instagram that year?
Yeah, a lot. So I went from 5,000 followers to 11 or 12,000 during that Inktober, that 130-day period, doubled. And then by Christmas we were at 20,000, and by the beginning of the summer we were at 50 or 60,000.
Wow! So it was just exponential.
It was exponential.
213K now, so it's kept going.
No, I've shrunk. I've been really trying to manage my relationship with social media over the years. You know, on one hand, I owe so much back to Inktober, to Jake, to Instagram, to social media and the relationships that I've formed. But at the same time, I've also, it's not super healthy sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. great. And so, you know, Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, you know, all of these companies are going through really big issues right now. And so I've stepped back a little bit to focus more on the live streaming aspect of what I do. And so my Instagram and it's constricted a little bit, and I've lost a couple of opportunities because of it. But I'm okay with that. It's totally right. fine. Yeah.
So speak to, I like that, you know, the state of social media for artists is yeah. like on fire, I would say. Right. So why this switch to live streaming?
Yeah. Or this it's a great question.
This focus on live streaming.
Yeah. It's a really good question. And I'm almost evangelical about it, to the folks that I work with. Mm-hmm. You know, during the pandemic, obviously was not easy. It was not easy for us to have young children, to be homeschooling parents. Right before the pandemic, my father passed away. And then lockdown happened almost immediately afterwards. And it was sort of this period, this two and a half year period of just stress and depression and anxiety. You know, had we done this podcast a year ago, it's like the title could have been like The Anxious Illustrator or something like that. Like, it was really bad. I really, really struggled. And I think what I found over that time is that I was just lacking human interaction. You know, I'm clearly an extrovert. I'm an energy vampire. I'm sucking out all of your energy. Lee's fast asleep right now. Open up your eyes, Lee. But I take and I need, and I wasn't getting any of that physical contact, that emotional contact. And so I had already been streaming a bunch on Instagram and just here and there, just nothing super consistent. I would just pop on for an hour or two, do a little doodle, and we would have a good time. Sell some art books or some whatever. And
so pause right there. Yeah. When you say sell some art books, what do you mean?
Yeah. So right before, sort of the pandemic happened, I did a Kickstarter for an art book, which is a 96 paged, art book, basically taking us all on the journey from 2017 when I decided to do Inktober and take cartooning really seriously and let that be my passion, to about what, 2018, 2019. And that's kind of when I was starting to form this relationship with people on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and things like that.
How many would you sell a session?
A handful. Yeah. And that, and which as an independent illustrator, being able to pop on a live stream for 30, 40 minutes, make a couple $100s can be a transformational experience. You're going directly to the source.
Right. And you would tell me too, I remember those, the Instagram live streaming days.
Yeah.
That you'd be like, it's like hand selling at a con. You're just, you know, you're just there speaking to people, talking to people, you're drawing, they're watching you draw. And, and oh, by the way, they pick up a sketchbook.
Yeah. And you don't have to eat bad convention hot dogs and the restroom isn't full of weirdos wearing like pig masks and things like that. Like, it's super safe. And when you're done and you're tired and you don't want to talk to anybody, you turn it off and you move on.
Right.
It's my favorite part about it.
Speaking to your point about what the lockdown did to everybody, I think it's interesting because artists have had to deal with sort of that world. It really didn't change my life so much when we went into lockdown because I'm used to working by myself and a lot of artists are, but I think the rest of the world got to experience what that isolation is. And it's so underestimated how difficult it is to be by yourself all day, to be to work at home. I don't see that many articles. I don't see that many people talking about that, especially if you're social. I mean, I think all four of us have that in common, that we're very mm-hmm. extroverted. We love chatting, having fun. And all of a sudden, when all that's gone as a freelancer, I mean, Jake and Will were sharing the studio in Provo, and then mm-hmm. that was gone and you're back at home. It's tough. I mean, I just want to highlight that because if people are feeling that at home, you have to figure out a way, whether it's a live stream like you did or whether it's meeting people locally, you really do have to just put in the effort to get out there. Otherwise, it's just that isolation can kind of sink you. My wife's brother was in town this past week. He lives in Seattle and he's a graphic designer and he was a full-time guy. So going to the office every day, they did this print magazine. Then the pandemic hit and all of them were regulated to working at home. And he'd never done it before. And we had this big, long conversation this weekend about it, about how hard it is to do that and stay motivated and get an organization to your schedule and all that stuff. So I don't know. I just wanted to kind of highlight that if some people may be still feeling that or you know, just trying to figure out how to navigate the home life and being a work at home kind of person.
Yeah. You make awesome points. I agree completely. And I think, you know, I think for me, you know, outside of being able to have conversation with friends and during sort of that time frame, I needed a project and I needed something to really occupy my mind. And developing, and I also recognized too, like there was limitations live streaming on an Instagram or a TikTok. The screen, despite having a big phone, the screen is very small. It's really, the chat is very, very, very small. Mm-hmm. I'm very conversational. I'm interested in people. I'm interested in their lives. I want to get to know them. But when you're live streaming on one of those short form platforms, it's very hard in a quarter of an inch to be able to see every comment and read every comment. And those streams, you know, we would have anywhere from 60 to 100 average concurrent viewers. And then we would get 4,000 to 5,000 people coming through every single one of those streams. And it was just so much to manage. And then the other challenge with it was, how could you stream for an hour and then also take advantage of the work that you were doing to then repost it as a reel or a TikTok or as a picture or whatever. So I realized at the time that there were some real limitations that I was rubbing up against. And I am a power user of live streaming, of Twitch. I've been on Twitch since 2015. Twitch is a billion-dollar plus live streaming platform based here out of the United States. Amazon acquired it for $1 billion a few years ago. And it was primarily a video game platform sort of in its infancy. And now has ballooned and changed its scope to art, to musicians, to actors, Critical Role, plays D&D on there and full-blown productions. And sort of during lockdown and shutdown and things like that, I just recognized like live streaming on the telephone was great. We're making revenue. I'm meeting people. I'm growing my social media. But how can I repurpose my time and then give me more ability to make better connections with people, real connections? I don't like things at the surface level. I like things to be real and deep and serious. And so I had to make a real choice. Was I going to stream on YouTube or if I was going to stream on Twitch? And I ended up sort of stumbling into the art community on Twitch, I don't know, maybe 16, 20 months ago, and just sort of seeing just what the art community there was like. And then I started to hang out in people's live streams and get to know people and take a part of drawing challenges in some of our favorite streamers. And I just knew it was the right spot. It was the right home. And I, you know, started to build together all of the infrastructure, a face camera, an overhead camera, microphones, key lights, a nice computer to be able to run everything. And it's been great. It's that portion of my afternoon where I said I'm the weakest, where I get distracted, I'm tired, I've created all day. But when I turn on the live stream, I'm there. Now we goof around a lot. We make a lot of weird jokes, but I'm always creating and I'm always pushing my creativity forward. And it's a huge part of my day. It's not the biggest part of my day, but it's probably my favorite part. Mm-hmm. And it's been great. It's been really great. And I feel really strongly going back to the idea, if there's independent creatives or folks who are yearning for that personal connection, there should be some element of streaming, live streaming somewhere in your arsenal as a creative. Doesn't need to be on a daily basis like me. Doesn't need to be on a fancy platform. You don't need $1,000 microphone, but there should be some element of trying to put ourselves as independent creatives on the internet so people can see us, they can get to know us. When I was putting my work out in 2016, 17, 18, I mean, again, Jake should have told me to stop. Jake should have been the voice of reason. But I think it was the human connection. I was responding to all my comments. I was having real conversations with people. And I think that's what live streaming is for people today. There's that lack of human connection. There's that lack of conversation. And then there's the immediacy. And so whether it's TikTok or an Instagram or YouTube or Twitch, does not matter. I think there should be at least some element of it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What do you two think of that, Will and Lee?
I think it's great.
You guys are just like,
It's got me thinking. You know, I mean, I think we should definitely be twatching. Is that the past tense of Twitch?
I'm not a consumer of your Twitch streams, but I did consume one of them.
Was it a good one?
I think it was great. And I, it's interesting because it's a whole different world than what I've been involved in. We first met going to conventions.
Yep.
And I can see it as a really good extension of your, you know, the work that you're selling at conventions. And also you have a personality for it. Not everybody's, I mean, a lot of people listening to this is going to go, I don't think I can do what he's doing, especially if they've seen what.
I have a point to that when you're done, though.
Okay.
About personality.
And I disagree so much.
Okay. I want to hear it. I'm watching you engage and I'm thinking of myself and I'm like, I just like to put my head down and work. Yeah. And I've tried live streaming on like Facebook and on my YouTube channel and stuff. And you have your drawing and then you have the comments, right? And so I can't draw and read at the same time. And it's always been this thing of, well, what do I do? And what I have found, which would work for me is I would draw it first and then explain or reveal layers and stuff. And I could do that all day, but I can't
do that. That'd be amazing. What a resource that would be.
Yeah. And we do that sort of thing with SVS. Don't try to control my life, Anthony.
Well, what's great about all the live stuff, whether it's pre-record or pre-built, like Will's talking about, or it's live, like Jake likes to do, what I find is that's interesting is people, they don't respond to the thing I think they're going to respond to. They'll respond to some little thing like, oh, here's how I mix these two colors together. It's something I don't even plan on being part of the lecture, or clean a brush or pull up a adjustment layer or some kind of thing. And they'll be like, wait, what'd you just do?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wait, is that a thing? I didn't know you didn't know that. And then that becomes, and those are like the moments, because the little light bulbs go off, you know, for everybody watching at different times for some of the smallest little things that you can't get.
Lee does things weird ways in Photoshop. He expertly researches weird ways to do things so that people will ask, how'd you do that?
I go a long way around, but still.
To the point about personality, I think like you play to your strengths and you be yourself and that's what succeeds, not you trying to
yourself is like, you never say a word. You know those people that we know.
And that's your thing. I mean, think about who was that comic a long time ago? Stephen Wright. Who would ever think, given his personality, that would be somebody who could be on stage? You would never think that.
Can soap get like, dirty?
I've seen Twitch channels or YouTube streamers where it's study time. Like, study with me. And some will roll up and say, hey, okay, for today, I'm just studying. They're like a college student. I'm going to be studying this, and this. I've got a test tomorrow, and so that's what I'm going to do. And let's do a 3-hour study block. Let's go. Boom. And then it's just a video of them studying and researching. Mm. You could see what they're looking at and what their notes they're taking. And
oh, my God. I can't imagine. And that's a little too far for me.
No. But I'm just saying, there's people in the comments are like, all right, I'm studying too. And every once in a while, just pop in and like, you know, hey, how's it going? What, you know, and then they're back to studying and whatnot. And it's like, that's an approach. You could do that with art. You could do that with anything.
I would hate to have that generic film going, because then you guys would see how little I actually work. It would just be an empty chair.
It goes back to the human connection, though. And there's 330 million people in America. There's 7 billion people on the planet. There's something for absolutely everybody. And why I disagreed with Will was, from a personality standpoint, the introverted side of our creative space, they don't have to be anything they don't want to be. But if they're already going to be making work, turn on an extra camera, turn it on. Mm-hmm. Don't say a word. Don't interact with anybody. Just let that other introverted portion of the world experience. People want experiences. We've lacked experiences. Some people haven't left their house due to coronavirus and pandemic and things like that. They need to see things happening. And it what's so fun about all of this is that it does not matter your personality type, how good you are at creativity. just by putting yourself out there, doubling up the work so you can take this and share it in other places. I think that's the key part of it.
I got it. It's the ASMR Twitch live stream.
It can be. I've never wandered into that scary portion of the world.
My sister pays to go to these silent retreats. So maybe that's what it is. It's like, this is the silent Twitch stream.
I have three kids. I would pay for that too.
One thing I realize if I start filming a little bit more and doing the live stuff is I need more stuff in my background. I've noticed that you guys have, to be a true illustrator, I don't have enough stuff.
Where's your book collection? Where's your...
I need a book. I need a big poster. I need a bunch of artwork.
Where's your toys?
Look at my background. It looks like I'm in just a room. Why is your
life so terrible, Lee, that you don't have anything on the walls?
I have no artwork in my house. I'm not kidding. No artwork.
A goal for you to have a background by January 1st.
And he just puts like Megadeth heavy metal posters back there. I'm like, what are you doing?
So let me ask you this. We've got you here. We've got this idea, and by the time this episode drops, we'll have done it twice. So this is people listening now will have experienced and can see if this plan is going to work or not. But we have this idea called How to Fix Your Art, and we're going to test it out in the months leading up to next year to see if it works, if we like it. And the idea is it's a weekly live stream where we take artwork that four or five people have done, and each live stream is devoted to one specific component of art. So like today we're going to work on composition. Yep. And we're just going to show how five different illustrations, people have done these illustrations, could fix their compositions. Mm-hmm. And the idea would be that it would start with a quick lecture. Here's what composition is. Here's proper composition usage or whatever.
Yep.
I'm a great teacher, as you can tell. proper composition usage. And then do draw overs or a demo or something like that. And in the meantime, also like, be taking questions from the chat or looking at what, you know, what other people are curious about and what they're wanting to learn about and taking note on that for future things. Is that like, would that be something that you think would be received well? And what would you do to make it better?
Yeah, 100%. I think it would be received really well. We do a version of that every other Wednesday on my Twitch stream with these character design challenges where I teach a little bit about character design, basic fundamentals. We're talking shape language, color theory, tone, texture, silhouette, movement, line of action, things like that. We give everybody a topic. We all create that. And then if people ask for a critique or a draw over, then the following week, we can go through some of that. The feedback that I've gotten in those sessions, and this is why I think your audience would be like beyond, would love it so much, is I've had people come back, and I know all three of you have had the same things, that people have come back and said, I've not drawn for 10 years, for 20 years. I've been scared to pick up a pencil. I have so much anxiety about drawing. But the ability to break things down, to show the simplicity of what we do, how shapes take over, or to provide some of those key points and being able to describe it in ways that not only the absolute rookie creative all the way up to the person who's been doing it for 30 years, who has 1,000 books out and things like that. It's so important. It's so important. The other portion of this, and I was thinking a lot about this the other day. I was watching a video about Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is I assume everybody in the world knows
who is Mr. Beast.
Yeah, he's this. Yeah, exactly. Well, how many subscribers do you have on YouTube? It's like 100 million.
No, way more than that. That's
yeah.
But he's like he's the guy that's. Stay in this circle for the last person to leave the circle will get $1 million or something.
Yeah. You know? Yep. Yeah. And those are kind of humble beginnings from sort of catchy videos to that. But now the big thing, and this is, I think where all of us need to go, have to go. And this kind of goes back to what you're talking about with the live streaming. He's a brand. he opened up his own burger restaurant. And then beyond that, he now contracts with 1,000 different individual unique burger restaurants to then be able to create Mr. Beast burgers. He's got his own line of chocolate. He's got physical locations. He's the brand. Gwyneth Paltrow, and he's a billion-dollar brand. Gwyneth Paltrow has her line of cosmetics and candles and things like that called Goop. These people have figured out how to brand themselves, and it's not just Anthony Wheeler Art or Jake Parker or whatever. And they've figured out this umbrella to be able to put all of that under. And there, this really interesting video that I watched the other day, there's a lot of conjecture right now that us as individuals or small groups of partners and things like that, we're the reason that the big companies will have to either completely shift out of the market in 5, 10 years, 20 years, or just simply won't exist because we have our own individual brands. You guys have your school. I have my line of sketchbooks and sketch products that were perfectly...
The Wheeler Burger.
The wheel, yeah. But it'd have to be gluten. It'd have to have a gluten-free bun because I'm 43 and can't process gluten like the rest of you. That's cool. But I think this is the world where we're moving to, is that we are the individual brand. The brand will continue to get bigger and bigger. So if you add in elements of the live streaming, the draw overs, the helping people with their art business, it just reinforces the brand more and more and more and more and more. But then beyond that, you're bringing people into the creative fold. So I think it's a great idea.
How come you don't have a Patreon?
I have a Twitch. I have a Twitch. The one big challenge. Yeah. The one big challenge that I'm running up to. So I'm 43. I'm married. I have 3 children. Those children all go to different schools. I've got a lot on my plate. I'm just like right at the edge of capacity. We worked very hard over this last couple of years to get my wife out of her full-time role. She was also an executive recruiter for a huge law firm here in town. So now I 1000% just support the family with my creativity, which is both amazing and terrifying at the same moment. I'm going to go sweat in the corner for a few minutes. I've thought a lot about a Patreon. I've thought a lot about a paid Discord. When I started live streaming on Twitch 8 months ago, 6-8 months ago, I had no idea it was going to be the thing that it is. You know, we average in upwards of 100 concurrent viewers. Sort of at any moment, there's 100 people that are there.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really good.
I'm in the
for an art streamer.
yeah. I'm in the top 10 of art streamers in that category when I'm streaming generally. So, you know, it's been good. And the people that are there are my hardcore fans. They're the ones who love what I do. And so they subscribe to my Twitch. They pay, a lot of them pay a monthly fee to not have to watch advertisements on my channel, or they get extra access to emotes. You know,
the weirdest thing, but also the most understandable thing too.
Yeah.
That like, I remember listening to the interview with the guy who created Twitch, and he's like, they want emotes. All right, we'll give them emotes, you know? And that is, it really does. It's like it's this little badge of honor that you can use these specific things that other people don't have. I think it really speaks to our something deeply like archaic inside of us.
It's the collectability of it. It's the community aspect of it. It's the tribe aspect of it. It's being a part of a thing. And the way that I have visualized it is, for right now, this is my thing. It might change. I'm not married to the platform. I love the idea of all of it, but for today, right now, the revenue is strong, and I've given them an ability to support me financially if they're interested. I give them 15 hours of content back a week. I've given them a Discord where they can hang out and have a really tight community of people. We do the drawing situations. We do the draw overs and the character design challenges. For what they compensate me for, I feel like I'm able to then provide value back. I'm nervous right now as just an individual who's got freelance projects, who's got new product coming in the store that I just might not be able to handle a Patreon just in it, with the way that our lives are currently set up. I'm bringing my wife into the business, kicking and screaming. She just wants to go to Disneyland. That's really all she wants to do. But she's going to be helping me out from a social media, from an administrative standpoint, from a shipping perspective. She's going to do some COO type material. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, to really grow the operation the way that I want, we need to bring somebody in-house outside of that. Somebody who's a strong operator, somebody who can really help me push the business forward, move all the levers and gears and gadgets to really maximize what we do. I think if anybody really analyzed my business today between social media, live streaming, influencing, product, video revenue, et cetera, et cetera, I think they would see that there's just so much mushiness and lack of sort of cohesiveness in terms of the strategy. It's just, I'm doing as much as I can. And by bringing in those other elements, we could increase the revenue, but at what cost? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm ultimately nervous about. You know, if we can continue to stabilize revenue, which is, we're really stable right now. And from just small things, then we can bring in that extra person and then we could figure out a real significant value add, mm-hmm. whether it's a paid Discord, a Patreon. I just don't want to do things halfway. I want them mm-hmm. to be fully fleshed out. I want them to be sustainable. I want them to, I want that to feel really good. And that will be at the cost of me making extra money. So.
Go ahead, Lee.
I was just going to highlight for our listeners out there. We have a lot of students and people going, you know, getting back into art and wanting to make it a career. And just want to highlight kind of what he's saying here that you learn to draw and you learn to paint first, right? And that's what you think your life is going to be, drawing and painting. Yeah. But what it becomes for at least the four of us, I know, is that it becomes, you know, drawing's part of it, but then it's like, okay, how do I sell it? And where do I sell it? And who's going to package it up? And it's all these things that go along with the business. And it is tough to balance all that out. I find that sometimes drawing is like the smallest part of my week and it frustrates me. And I've had to fight for those moments back because I've got 100 prints that got to go out and they all need to be packaged up and shipped. And then I got, you know, I'm working on a contract for a publisher and all that stuff. It just eats up a ton of your day. And I just wanted to point it out because a lot of people think, oh, I just wish I could draw all day. Well, so do we, but we don't. Our days
you can
are not
draw
drawing.
All day, but you'll make no money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like if that's all you do. Now, I haven't even talked about the kidlit picture book, you know, chapter book stuff that I'm aggressively trying to work my way into. Because the rest of it is taking up all of that time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a balancing act. Yeah. And a lot of it is not drawing. It's figuring out how to be a business person and how to make it work. And you need to think about that if you're starting out this career, is not just how good am I at drawing and painting and what you're saying in your art, but then where's it going to go? Who's going to get it, you know, if you want to make a living at it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say, where are you at now with all these different revenue streams? Has mm-hmm. it matched your previous income or your previous career?
Yeah.
Okay. So it took how many years to get to that point?
That's an awesome question. Yeah. Again, my path is very different than I think a lot of people. And so there's a lot of caveats and cutouts here.
Privilege and stuff like that, right? Like everyone's dealing with different deck of cards, right?
Yeah, that's it. We all have a lot of things. It's just, you know, mine all happened in like a 5-year period where sometimes other people's gets theirs spread out. Mm-hmm. So when I left executive recruiting, I gave myself that 2 years. My revenue in those first 2 years was under $30,000 total. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the plan. And in addition, you know, sick kid, epilepsy, all that stuff for my son. So it just wasn't part of the conversation. The next couple of years was the ramp up period. That's when I started doing Comic-Cons. That's when I started having an online store, selling much more private commissions and art books and product and merchandise and things like that. Yet at the same time, I had a toddler. I didn't have a lot of like real capacity, and my wife was in the position to support the family from what she was doing, in her role. And what that did is it allowed me to really take a couple of steps back and just do what Lee was talking about, just the drawing side, mm-hmm. just to learn how to get comfortable with my art and not feel like a fraud and things like that. Mm-hmm. And because we knew that the business was an upward trajectory, that it wasn't stalling and plateauing or falling back. And then when I released the sketchbook this year ago, it's been a year ago, I guess, if I look at the calendar, gave us a lot of confidence that we could extricate my wife from her day job. And we've been living off of one single salary comfortably, but there's challenges there for the last 5 years. And now with everything that I do, I've replaced that salary. But, you know, freelancing, independent illustrating here in America is not for the faint of heart. You know, my mortgage is $2,600 a month, my health insurance, because I have a son with special needs and debilitating, you know, medicine requirements. We pay $3,000 a month in health insurance and medicine right now. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's more than my mortgage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we've had to really reconfigure our lives to do all of this. The other thing that I think is really important too is money. You know, this is a great conversation to talk about money, but money's important because it's how we eat. It's how I put this $12 t-shirt on. It's how I get creepy Peter Pan dolls that are back there staring at Lee. You can have, I'll send one to you. But you know, ultimately, you know, we only have like a finite amount of time on this planet. Some get more, some get considerably less. Watching my mother pass away at an age that I thought was altogether way too young and not having a fulfilled life. And then watching my father who passed away, but at a much older age, and he lived a really fulfilled life. And these two things are very different and they push and pull. And so, you know, I think as long as we can continue to support the family financially, ensure that my children are going to be set up for success throughout their lives. Like if my oldest son, you know, he's got really severe dyslexia because of the epilepsy. If he's never in a position to read, I either want to be able to give him a job on my team here, what I do, or there's enough money behind the scenes that he just doesn't need to worry about it. And he can have a very unconventional, non-traditional life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, doing what we do, you know, it's like we get to go pick up the kids from school and we can drop off the kids at school and we can be a part of the field day and we can go to Red Robin at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a sponsored plug. They paid me to say that, but like we can take our kids to a restaurant right when they're done with school and we can do that. I think that it's more important for me to be able to have a little bit of that flexibility as opposed to all of the revenue stress and pressure and fear and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I mean,
would you rather me just answer with one word answers from now on?
No, I think all three of us are like pondering like, yeah, that is a pretty good balance out. I mean,
you
like,
I want to do our podcast for us.
I'm going to
welcome to One Point Perspectives with Anthony Wheeler.
Well, have you found that it's cheaper now that you guys aren't both going off to work somewhere?
Yeah. Some degree.
You don't have to buy as many nice clothes.
Gas.
We're gonna have to get our wives.
Is that a dick? Are you saying my generic black t-shirt is not a nice t-shirt?
I'm saying I want Lee to prove he's wearing pants.
Well, I'm not proving that. I can't.
I want the mystery.
I was gonna say we should get our wives together and complain about us because what your wife is doing is exactly what my wife started doing a few years back, probably 5 years ago. And
that's got some stories. My wife did early on with SVS too, and then she's like, get someone else, get Lee's wife.
Yeah, this sucks. That's true. We did. We got my wife to do it.
That's cool. Well, I appreciate you coming here and talking to us and kind of throwing off your groove for the morning
I'll share this. These are billable hours, so I'll just bill you back for the time.
There's a lot of takeaways here from talking with you. So we really, really do appreciate the time you've given us here today.
No, I'm really appreciative. And again, I will say this over and over and over again. You know, I think Jake specifically, and then tangentially, a bunch of people, you know, Will included, I think, because of what you guys have done over this last 10, 15 years, putting yourselves out there, allowing your story to come through and sort of your humanity to come through, I think is it, you, whether you guys understand it or not, like you have influenced this whole crust and generation of people that never would have thought that this would have been possible. When I went to business school 20 some years ago, I would have never thought that I would be here drawing. I drew a pirate yesterday. I'm going to be drawing skeletons later today. Like, I don't think you guys comprehend. Well, I assume, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you guys have done between SVS, your own podcast, your own YouTube videos, I mean, it's transformational. It's, mm-hmm. It's a lot. And it's that idea awesome. Where you give yourself completely and you share everything, you know, like anecdotally before we go, my father was a master model shipbuilder. One of the nation's most renowned scratch builders for making model ships. He had a very specific niche, but the old man was one of the most prolific in his space, and he never hid any of his techniques, any of his information, any of how he did stuff. All he did was he shared that stuff. And I think you guys doing this on a weekly basis, having SVS, doing Critique Arena, again, it's we might underestimate the impact. And the old man, I mean, he influenced an entire generation, younger generation of model shipbuilders who now get to use his techniques. And when I live stream and make Instagram videos, strange stuff like that, it's that idea where you sort of selflessly give yourself up and everyone gets stronger because of it. Mm-hmm. And then the art community gets better and better. And then everyone prospers either financially or creatively or whatever. It's super cool.
A rising tide lifts all model ships.
That's it. That's it.
There's our outro.
Are we going to record a podcast? You guys haven't pressed record yet, have you?
Shoot. Did I hit record? Yes. Okay, good. All right, man. Well, I think that's it. You guys, do you have any other questions? I think we're good.
Yeah, I think that's good, man. Let's hang out. We live in the same area. Let's go do something.
I can't believe Jake didn't connect us.
This is the only way I could get you two. Like, I have to have you on our podcast for like this interface to happen.
Yeah,
we gotta go to, when we come up there, we'll go to that prison burger place. What was it called?
Prison burger.
It's like some kind of like incarceration burger place or something.
I want a Wheeler burger.
Convict burgers, wasn't it? What was it called?
I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's where we all met years and years and years ago. It's where after I met Dominic Denver Glover Comic-Con. And stuff like called? That. I have no idea. Jake's not going to remember. Jake doesn't remember what he had for breakfast.
Right. Actually, the only impossible reason burger. I can remember impossible what I had for burger? Breakfast oh, is because I have oatmeal every day.
I don't know. So it's smart idea.
Default.
Smart idea. Right.
An impossible burger is a meat-free burger. Well, it's not just that. So you know.
Yeah, I know I'm a carnivore.
It's like some kind of outlaw burger place.
And a Wheeler burger is going to have the bun in the middle.
Yeah. It's just greasy fingertips.
It goes patty, lettuce, yeah. Tomato, bun, tomato, lettuce, patty.
That's the, yeah. Nice. I could use that for my workout for sure. Extra, all the extra protein. Well, again, just know that you guys are awesome. Just know that you're doing amazing things for a lot of people, whether they understand it today or not. But if they watch enough of these and hang out with you guys enough, it's awesome. Things can happen. So.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for showing up.
This thanks for having great. Me. I look forward to being the fourth point on a regular basis.
No, you're the third. Lee's now the fourth.
I'm the fourth. I'm the scraggler.
All right. So that's our interview with Anthony. Again, super impressed with the guy. He's not only is he like good at what he does, but he's just like genuine and kind. Like you're not going to meet a nicer guy. Yeah. The way that like he didn't have to, but the way that he like complimented us on what we're doing, like I really appreciated that.
Yeah, you know, I got from that is like at the end with that compliment there, I need something for my background. I'm going to make myself a trophy.
Best helper. Something
you
like
know
that.
What, Jake? We should actually make the trophy for Lee.
We should. You know they sell.
We'll make it and buy it, and you have to display it.
There you go.
We have trophies here.
Lee's pulling up a half-assed trophy.
golden.
Right. It's a gold half. It's the back half of a horse. That's the trophy that I won. The other trophy that I won is
the goat,
a donkey.
Like a donkey.
The greatest of all time.
So I need some more trophies. Anyway, he's amazing. He's super genuine, and I love that he lives in my area. I'm definitely going to go hang out with that guy.
Yeah, you two are going to be best buds. I could see it. All right, so just a reminder, his website is anthonywheelerart.com, and you can find him on Instagram, Anthony Wheeler Art, and on Twitch, Anthony Wheeler Art. Do watch his Twitch every afternoon. Just pop in, see how it's going. It's fun. They're a goofy bunch.
Can you explain how to do that? I've never watched a Twitch stream. I have no idea. How do you do it?
First, you have to have a computer or a phone or a tablet.
So okay. You're not going to want a rotary phone. You're going to go to twitch.com. It works better if you make your own account. That way you can follow people and get notifications. And then go to, if you go straight to his page, twitch.tv/AnthonyWheelerArt, you're going to get where you can follow him. You could subscribe to him, but you're just going to get notifications when he's live. He'll send you an email or whatever notification thing you sign up for. And then join the chat, watch, follow along. I follow a few different artists on Twitch. And it's just, I haven't been on there lately, but the last couple of weeks, because I've been doing very cognitive, demanding writing work, and I can't be listening to people talk while I'm writing. But when I'm doing a lot of drawing, where, you know, it's like inking and coloring and stuff, it's really good background. And the way he described it to me, because I was trying to figure out what is Twitch? What's the point of it? He's like, think of it as AM radio for millennials and Gen Z, right? It's, you put on the AM radio, whether it's talk radio, whether it's sports, you know, whether it's a baseball game, and you're listening to it. It's someone's in the room with you. You know, this is for the Gen Xers or the boomers, right? So the reason you listen to that is just to have something going on in the background to listen to and to engage with. And that's how a lot of people use Twitch. They just have it on so they feel like someone's in the room with them, and they can pop in and talk and comment on something. And that's how it's worked for me too. It's just nice to have that going on in the background. Cool. All right, should we take us out?
We should take us all out. Right. Let's all do it all at the same time.
Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Stop that.
3-Point Perspective is made possible by svslearn.com, where becoming a great illustrator starts. Your hosts have been Will Terry at Will Terry Art on Instagram, and willterry.com on his website. Lee White at leewhiteillustration.com and at leewhiteillo on Instagram. And I'm Jake Parker at mrjakeparker.com and at Jake Parker on Instagram. Podcast produced by Daniel Tu. That's Daniel T-U. You can find him at daniel2.co. Keeper of the Curriculum, thank you to him. Austin Shirtliff, Chief Operations Officer Lisa Fott, thank you to her. And a special thank you to Lily Howell, who does our show notes. She's our show note wrangler. Now, go draw something.
I've seen some mountain bike stuff at Green Mountain.
Yeah.
But it's open space, right? It's not it's not wooded, is that correct?
No, there's not a single tree on that hill. You can get a good 1500 feet of elevation gain. So where I live is 6500 feet above sea level. So you can get up to 75 or 8500 feet, somewhere around up in there. But it's just all rattlesnakes this time of year.
Really?
100% rattlesnakes.
Really?
I'm not going up there right now.
Wow. Are you serious? It is rattlesnakey more than normal right now?
Yeah. So they call it Rattlesnake Mountain. So when they were developing portions of Denver and Littleton and Highlands Ranch and stuff like that, they would be digging all of these plots for houses. And they didn't know what to do with the rattlesnakes. And so in the 60s and 70s, they would take them by helicopter and drop them on the hill beside my house.
Whoa.
Why didn't they just kill them like they were supposed to do?
Yeah, back you're supposed then, to get him with the shovel.
Yeah, back it's then like, you can kill don't things record without that. Any recourse.
It's like yeah. the pit in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
100%. there's vipers and anaconda in there as well.
I didn't put Green Mountain and this location together when you said it, because I thought you were in Utah for some reason. No, I thought you were around where Will used to and Jake used to be.
I've never even met these guys. I don't even know who these guys are.
No.
It just showed up on the Zoom.
Lee, I was just trolling Zoom. Hey, oh, you're moving to
remember when I said you're moving to Colorado? Oh, I have a friend who lives there. He's like 30 minutes away from you. We got to set you two up.
You didn't say who it was though. I can't
I'm
just
the friend.
Guess I did at too. That. Hey, friend.
Oh, hey, Lee.
Here's the thing.
So do you mountain bike and do hike and do all that kind of stuff, or what are you into?
Hike. Mountain bike. I'm very slow on my mountain bike.
Frisbee golf.
I'm frisbee golf. I'm like 20 pounds overweight, so I'm very slow.
Dude, I could. All right, that's perfect speed
than
for
you
me.
At frisbee golf, Lee.
But that's he's impossible. Got youth on you, Lee.
That's impossible.
I just turned 43. Younger. What's youth?
There's physical age and then there's biological age. So physically, I'm 52, but biologically, I'm about 17 at my prime.
Here it is.
You're virile.
And there's also mental age.
There's the mental age. That's I'm 11.
You're like 4.
I like it. Yeah. We'll have to, dude, we will absolutely have to hang out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're just getting to know the area. So yeah, I'd love to hang out. That'd be fun.
So I see Red Rocks from my bedroom window. So like when there are shows, we see the lights and everything. Sometimes we can hear the music, the way it blows over the mountain.
We've been hiking a lot
above
over
the,
in,
the,
that way
the
lately.
The hum of rattles from the...
Yeah, you can hear...
from the...
We've been hiking at... what's that?
Green
there's
Rocks.
A beautiful hike. God dang it, I can't remember what the name of it is now. It's a little canyon with a stream next to it. Lair of the Bear.
Yeah, that's 15 minutes away.
Nice.
So I've biked and hiked. And then once you get through Lair of the Bear, you take that... sort of all the way around, and there's a whole nother set of trail systems on the backside of that, 6 miles
awesome.
Up the canyon.
So we go from Rattlesnake Ridge to Lair of the
rubbed,
Bear.
We've rubbed into each other. I was up in Lair of the Bear last season, and right when I got to the fork of the mouth of the trail, there's just this giant sign that says, warning, a bear has been spotted. And then it gives you all the criteria of what to do if you encounter a bear. And I was like, why... Like I did,
they
wishful
call it Lair
ignorance.
The Bear for a reason. I mean,
I know, but you don't really see a lot of bears around there.
Yeah, I've never seen.
And they're sweet little black bears. But in this time of the year, like September, they're hungry, mm-hmm. and they're looking for warmth. Yeah, they eat the rattlesnakes.
You've seen the bears like chomp into salmon? Like they don't even skin it. They don't grill it. Nothing. They just eat it raw.
They don't carve.
And they mostly eat the heads. Did you know that?
Didn't know that.
Is that the diet? Are you just now talking about your diet?
Yeah.
No carbs and just fish head.
Fish head stew.
No, seriously, that's where the most of the vitamins and minerals are. Mm. They leave the bodies. I mean, like you'll see in the stream bodies of fish and the head's gone. Look it up.
Crazy.
See, you just really
right
brought now. Down the vibe.
I don't know.
Man.
It sounds like the Russians, maybe.
Will's just making this up. Something has something to do with Bitcoin.
Take that clip out. Don't attach me to your vitriol, Jake Aloysius Parker.
Should we start the podcast?
Let's get partying. Now there's three of us. We normally do a two-man interview.
Yeah, why do I get a third person?
That's not enough. We thought
I wanted to try it out and see how it would go, and I knew that we could do it with you. I didn't want to risk it with anybody super important. So
we can't do that with Chris Van Allsburg. We have to. We're working out.
In fact,
if
we're interviewing Chris Van Allsburg, I'm just going to do it by myself. So I know nothing will go wrong.
This interview is going to consist of is me, Jake, Will, and I all just talking over each other, trying to ask a question at the same time. So it's going to be good listening.
It's going to be cool.
I feel like it'll be like a normal podcast then.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No
different. Pretty much. And it was really just a joke. You are important. You're very important.
Shut up, Jake.
I'll try to backpedal now.
Actually, can I say one thing? Do you ever say something without thinking to your wife?
Not to yours, but to mine, yeah.
Yes. Every day.
And after the fact, you realize not only did you offend
her,
but everybody else in the room.
And everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Do tell. I'm curious. This is like a loaded.
Spill the tea. Can we get Allison in here to talk about it too?
She just, man, like even like 30 minutes later, she's like, I'm still upset about that.
Do tell.
No, you owe me another Disneyland trip, mister.
Right. No. So we're doing the Wordle. Like our family kind of does Wordle at breakfast. And it's always like, I got it, you know, and how many lines? And we're trying to like beat each. Well, I make it into a competition. It's not a competition, but.
For no one else, it's a competition, but just for
right. Anyway, Lucy, my daughter, she's in college and she was just having a hard time with it and she couldn't figure it out. And it was taking her longer to do than all of us. Right. And I was like, don't worry about it, Lucy. Don't get frustrated. Your brain is working on so many other things right now. Cause she's like studying for tests and everything. Your brain's working on so many other things right now that it's like, it's totally understandable. And my wife is like, hey, implying that her brain, my daughter's brain can't handle the Wordle. And my wife is just not thinking at all during the day. So she got all this extra energy.
It's unused the thought process.
Right.
I can only hope that the Wordle was brain.
Right.
And my that would make the story 10 times better.
My other daughter sitting at the table is just like, hey. Like,
yeah. So not only have you offended your wife, you've offended every woman on the planet.
Yes, yes.
Can we get a clip of this for later?
Daniel,
for
please, our social cut, media? Please cut this
Daniel,
out.
Cut this out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I got to say, that's pretty mild. For the stuff that I get in trouble for, that is the most mild version of offending someone.
Listen, in this house, you don't joke about intelligence. That's a no-go zone.
My wife is a notorious, over the last handful of years, has become a notorious snorer to the point where I can't sleep. Like it's detrimental to my rest. These bags, Will, right there, that's from her because I can't sleep. So yesterday she went to the ENT to try to figure out what in the world is going on. So she found out that her tonsils and adenoids and all the guts in here are in a level that the person has never seen in their entire life. They're so swollen. So she comes home and she's crying. She's got to get surgery. She's going to be on her butt for 3-4 weeks. Like getting your tonsils out as an adult is terrible.
Right.
My response, instead of consoling my wife, was like, oh, shoot, I'm going to finally be able to sleep.
No. Super smart. Because you're going to be on the couch downstairs.
Yeah. So not only did I offend her, I offended everyone with swollen adenoids and tonsils.
That's right. So. Good job, Anthony. We're just doing great over here in husband land.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome to 3-Point Perspective.
Hey, can I share one thing before we get started?
Yeah.
Daniel, you can cut this out if you want to because it's all visual. But so my son, we're sharing family stories here, but my son is now in sixth grade and the sixth grade groups with seventh and eighth here. And academics here is so serious compared to where we were. And it's just like a whole different world from what fifth grade was, right? So it's real assignments and real classes and, you know, all the stuff is like, it's leveled up. And so we're having to look at his homework and really analyze it all. And so I pulled up my son's science homework the other day, 2 days ago, and I'm going through it and they're studying different climates and different regions and the foliage and the fauna, you know, what grows there and all that kind of stuff, water content. It's, you know, very serious kind of academic stuff, even for sixth grade. And it says, can you please include a photo of the region you have chosen, and his region is the Midwest, specifically the kind of Kansas plains. And let me share the picture. This is literally pasted in his homework that he's turning in. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't even a joke. It was like, this is like, and I was like, son, this is a cartoon. And he's like, well, it's hot. Hot
it's
there.
It's a strong visual aid.
I just could not believe it. And so I had to, at this moment when we saw this, we basically gave up on the academic scholarship potential. And now we're leading into sports.
Yeah, it's fair. It's totally fair.
Anyway.
I was just marveling at how well drawn the fan was.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I didn't want to make fun of it. I didn't call him out too much in front of him, but because then I would have been in the doghouse big time because he'd be like, you're making fun of me because I, but that was a serious attempt. Oh my God.
Well, get this. So sixth grade is when we go through growing and changing and learning here. I can only imagine the visual aids that your son will come up with then.
All right, let's get going.